Okay, so the line's going to be, it is being recorded, so what we're going to go ahead and get started. The call today is meant to help you all with closing more deals by giving the franchisors the right information on what they need to do to make that relationship going forward with you and your client as best as possible. Now, this is going to include different things like the QSR, the client meeting, what to submit, the frick and frack, all of that good stuff. And Mike Hall is going to lead us through this presentation today. So if you wouldn't mind, Mike, go ahead and tell us what you got here.
All right. Thanks, Megan. I appreciate it. And hello, everybody. It is a spectacularly beautiful day here in the Carolinas, both north and south. It was a far different story 2 days ago. We were here in Charlotte. We were spared. We had some rain and some wind, and it wasn't a big deal. But, boy, along the coast, they just got hammered. So for all of us that, for all of you that, if you're any of the Florida people here and you went through this, I hope everybody is safe and has power. The only person I know that had to evacuate was Kathy Petcash, my partner in Charleston, and she made it up here on Friday. I'm not sure she's on the call. She went back yesterday, fortunately, to no damage to her house and no flooding. So. Anyway, good to have all of you here, and let's call this closing more deals by providing the right information in parentheses to franchisors and to your clients. This thing started a few weeks ago. You might remember a note that Jana sent out letting us know that there were a few franchisors that were a bit unhappy with the way that we were presenting our prospects to them. We were hearing things like, we're not supplying enough information in order to help them work with the prospects. In some cases, no QSRs, no financials, not even a write-up. Sending in some prospects that were unqualified financially, sending prospects in that were not expecting franchise or follow-up calls, and submitting leads through Fran Connect, but asking the franchisor not to call the lead. That was a new one to me. But I read this note, and it really had an impact on me, and I thought, oh, my goodness, surely not us. You know, we don't do these things. We are well-trained. We're better than our competitors who do all these bad things. But apparently, a few FranNet offices might be a trifle guilty of these misdeeds. I may have been guilty of these misdeeds in the past, but I have learned the benefits of what I would call good information transfer and its importance to the sales process. As some of you probably do know, I work with mentoring a few franchisors through their initial growth stages here in the Carolinas, and I have seen from their perspective how frustrating it is to get a lead with little information attached to it that can be used to engage the prospect. So, you know, in reading Jana's note, I happened to communicate back to her a few suggestions, maybe for new associate training or maybe a webinar. And I hit the send button, and that was my big mistake because 9.6 seconds later, I got a note back saying, hey, why don't you do a webinar on this? But I got to say that I'm happy to do it because I believe in this. And I really do think that you close more deals if you get and you give more and the right information. Looking at the subjects that Jan and that Megan wanted to cover, there's a lot here. We have a relatively short amount of time. So I put my thoughts together, I hope succinctly and in a way that, that will help you. So the bottom line is this is a brief training webinar, about the benefits of accumulating and transferring good information, during the sales process. Allow me a quick apology up front. I know you're not supposed to apologize in front of presentations, but in rereading these slides, I think I come off sounding a bit preachy. But I do believe that we owe franchisors a lot of information. And I know to some of you this is going to sound more like a reminder of procedures and protocol So I'm not breaking new ground, but sometimes I think that reminders are good, and I hope that's what this is. And finally, I know that a lot of you do a great job with this, certainly better than me. So in the end, if we have some time, please chime in. Let the group know some of the good things that you do. So ideas and assumptions. Before we get started, let me throw out a few of these. I guess an idea you could call a premise as well. Idea number one, you close more deals by giving franchisors what they need to handle your prospects. Without good information, I think the franchisor just has a harder job of initiating a good first conversation. Idea number two, you close more deals by making sure that your clients know what to expect from franchisors. Your clients need to know what will happen once they leave a meeting with you, and we'll talk about that. Number three, good information transfer is a common trait among successful Franet offices. I have seen this firsthand. I know it to be true. And just a quick couple of assumptions. Number one, most of you I know are doing what it takes to get leads and to see clients. This webinar is not about generating leads. Just one other assumption, and that is that you have an understanding of the QSR and how to read it and interpret it. This is not about interpreting the QSR. Okay, next slide. So just a quick agenda. We're going to start with the QSR. This is the beginning of gathering good information. I want to talk about the client meeting, which is where we gather additional information, not in the QSR. I want to talk about the information submitted to the franchisor. What do they need in order to get started with your prospect? We're going to talk about using FranConnect to communicate for a second. There seem to be some questions about how to do this correctly, and Megan will cover that. Quick word about Frick and Frack, and then kind of ending up with something I call justifying your time. I think most of us do a good bit of work up front with our clients. Phone calls, meetings, follow-ups, etc. Franchisor also does a lot of work. In many cases, they spend more time than you do with a client. I think if we do our jobs right, I think it takes a few hours to gather and compile and transfer client information. And what I'm wondering is, have any of you ever tried to assign a dollar value to the time you spend on getting and disseminating information? I want to talk about that for a few minutes because I think it's a fun and kind of simple exercise to go through. Next one. So I think everything starts with the QSR. Just some observations I've made over the years. I think that no QSR, and by the way, for those of you, I know everybody knows what the QSR is. I did not. It means quick summary report. I had no idea. We'll call it the assessment as well. No QSR means no client. Your franchisors know this. You know this. I think if your client's not going to take the time to fill it out, I think the chances that they will take the time to do the research and make a buying decision are really quite limited. Are there some exceptions? Probably. But you might also remember that franchisors, many of them, require your client to fill out a qualification form as well. And if they won't fill out ours, they may not fill out theirs. So I really believe this. No QSR means no client. One of the things I think the QSR does is I think it lends weight to the process, and to a limited extent, I think it helps commit your client to the process. Secondly, I think our QSR provides real value. I'm guessing that for the most part, your clients, like mine, are mostly outplaced professionals. They really don't know what they want, but they want to do something. They don't know the best attributes of a business. Much of that information is provided in the QSR. It begins to point us in a good general direction. I think the QSR supplies information that is accurate in many ways in addressing specifically business ownership. In particular, I like the buyer values and motives. I like the hierarchy of values. I like the core competencies. And I like the written information up front. It has value, and I depend on these answers. That said, there are some contradictions coming up, so stay tuned. I think the QSR sets us apart from our competition. I think the information provided is actually relevant to business ownership. Over the years, I've come to appreciate its relevance, and the information that we get and provide to the franchisors and our clients is better than what our competition does. Many of our clients do fill out other assessments, either from outplacement firms or from competitors, but what they're doing is they're filling out DISC or Myers-Briggs or Berkman Lifestyle Grid. And these things are not designed to give an in-depth look into how clients might feel about business ownership. Keep in mind, too, that that our franchisors go to training to learn how to use our QSR. You know, they believe in it enough to spend the time and money to do this. I think it's another testament to its value. So many of them are on the same wavelength as we are in interpreting the information provided. Heck, some of them even provide the assessment to their own kind of organic candidates through Proven Match. But that said, the franchisor is not going to know the QSR as well as you do. So keep that in mind. With all that good stuff said about the QSR, and I mean it, I think it provides only 50% of what is needed to understand your prospect. Maybe it's 60, maybe it's 70%, but whatever it is, it's far less than 100%. And I know this is a bold statement, but I have said before, QSR gives us great information, and I mean it, but you've got to do more work in getting information from your clients. So why do I say 50%? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, the client doesn't always fill out our entire form, right? I mean, you have emulators, don't you? They are really pesky, and they are often guilty of this. They can just rush through things, not thinking some questions are important. Others simply don't know how to answer some of the questions. Sometimes the financial information is not filled out correctly. If I see this, or it's not filled out at all, if I see this, I always ask for an estimated net worth and available cash. I let them know that the franchisor will have to know those numbers in order to move forward. If you don't have this, you don't know what to show your client. And so I will not move forward unless I know what my client can afford. So, you know, we have a good but incomplete assessment. I think you've got to gather additional information. Of course, that's what your meetings are for. Look, I think there's a margin of error, even in our algorithms. Have you ever had a client that might be a belonger, 52%, achiever, 50%, let's say? If there's a 2 or 3% margin of error, those numbers can actually flip. And so as a consequence, you can't just look at, like, a list of inventory and the corresponding buyer motives column and choose franchises. You really need more information before you start picking franchisors. And then some questions simply aren't answered correctly, right? The best example I can think of here is the one that's the second page of the QSR, I think, that defines the spectrum of franchising, right? You know, it wants to know if you are B2B or service or retail. And it asks the questions in such a way that, frankly, my clients often don't fill this out correctly. I'm sure half of them don't. I've got to ask them more questions in the meeting. So most of our clients really don't know the answers to some of these. They give it a best guess, but that's it. And finally, I'd say that the answers don't always transfer to true desires or needs or wants. I'll give you a great example. I'm working with a client right now, great guy. He scores a 5 and a 4. In his sales interest and ability. His sales core competency is his lowest competency. But he wants to challenge himself by looking at business-to-business businesses, even though you wouldn't think that's what he would want to do. But he feels that selling to businesses allows him to build a larger business. He wants to build a sales team. He wants to learn to sell because he just believes in that philosophy. He's going to do that with or without me. So I'm working with them. We're asking a lot more questions, and we're looking at retail as well as B2B right now. So I think the bottom line here about the QSR, it doesn't paint what I would call a complete picture of the client. I think our business is very nuanced. We need to observe our clients, need to gather more information to fully understand what they want, and, of course, then provide that to the franchisor. So, next slide. So let's talk about the client meeting for a second. I happen to hold face-to-face meetings. I'm sure most of you do. Sometimes I'll hold two meetings. One to cover the QSR and gather additional information, and one to present the franchisors. It just depends on the client. It can certainly be done in one meeting. I'm sure that some of you do phone calls, conference calls, Skype meetings, but the purpose and the content is the same. What you're trying to accomplish is the same. So what do our meetings do? I think they confirm the QSR. They help build the business model, and they set expectations, client expectations. In my meetings, I'm trying to do several things. First of all, I am trying to confirm the QSR results. And just working down the slide here now. I'm trying to fill in the blanks from the QSR where the client doesn't really answer questions, as I've mentioned before. I'm trying to clarify answers that I simply don't understand or feel the client may not have answered correctly. Once the QSR is confirmed and I understand it, I'm trying to then, of course, discover the most important business attributes that define the business from the client's perspective. I'm asking a lot of questions that the QSR does not ask. And believe me, I have a lot of questions to ask. I'm always digging deeper. I'm looking for those attributes that help define and build the business model. And those attributes, when combined with the information in the assessment, will point me in the right direction when I'm trying to come up with businesses to show. As a quick aside, I got this from Megan, but we actually have in FranConnect a very nice business model form called Building the Business Model, that asks a lot of good questions and that to a large extent complements the QSR. If you're not using it, you might want to take it to your meetings. So I'm gathering other information as well from the client during my meeting. I look for personality traits. And this is kind of a style of communication, but it's I'm not talking about kinesthetic or visual or auditory styles. I'm talking about personality traits that are different or quirky or whatever. And I can tell you better by an example. I've got a client looking at Fifth 36 right now. He is a past president of a smaller public company. He's very straightforward. He's very brusque, hard to build a rapport with him. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. He's just prickly. You get to know him, he's actually not bad, but you got to get through that first part. In my franchisor write-up, when I send them information on this client, which we're going to discuss in a second, I mention this. And I tell them exactly how to approach a client. It gives the franchisor the ability to approach them in the right way. In this case, they don't want to waste the client's time. They want to get right to the point, kind of get to the facts, you know, have an efficient discussion, right? This particular client really appreciates that. There are other clients that are far different. But I let the franchisor know about those personality traits. The first conversation between the franchisor and the client helps set the tone for the next conversations and really may even determine if the client's going to go forward. The second thing that I'm doing here is I'm trying to determine what my client is focusing on during the research. And I call it in the chart here, client research focused. And I'll give you an example. I have clients that I'm dealing with. We have all these business attributes, but what they are focused on is the franchisee track record. They want to know how other franchisees are doing, which eliminates some of our franchises that don't have that information, but I know they're focused on that. Some of my clients want to capture a trend. They want a franchise that seems to be on the wave, the front end of a trend. I have clients that want to know, what am I getting for my money? How is the franchisor going to explain that to me? I'm sure you've heard that before. I have clients who want to know, what's the unique selling proposition? Why should I buy this? So they're just one or two things that they're going to focus on, I think, during their research. And maybe it's just me, but I want to identify and define those because they indicate what I would call an overarching theme on which the client's research is going to be based. The other business attributes are important, but if these kind of focus items are not satisfied, it's not going to matter. Client's not going to buy. And it's so important to communicate that to the franchisor so they can start off their first conversation on the right foot and address these client, what I call these client focus items up front. And then finally, the real fear factor. Over and above the risk and resource index, which some of you may pay a lot of attention to, and you may even send it into the franchisor, you know, I want to hear it and I want to see it from the clients. Especially important when I've got husbands and wives sitting in front of me or partners sitting in front of me. Fear may show up with one of these spouses. I need to know that. Face-to-face meetings allow me to see that and to gauge it and to communicate it to the franchisor. So I gather all this information during my client meetings from the QSR, and I use it to produce what I call a descriptive write-up. Why do I do this? I do this because the franchisor doesn't have the benefit of face-to-face meetings. It's a page and a half write-up. But the franchisor is not there at your meetings. They don't see, they don't hear the nuances of the discussion you have. And I think it's important to communicate this to them in a write-up of some kind. So, next slide. Just to continue on the client meeting for just another couple of minutes, the other thing that I'm doing in my meetings besides gathering information is I'm giving them information. I am a big believer in setting client expectations for upcoming sales, for the upcoming sales process. Your client needs to know what to expect from the franchisors and from you in the coming weeks, and they need to be on board with the sales process. This goes a long way toward preventing those disappearing or those surprise clients that Jana was describing. Surprises are really good in our business, by the way, unless somebody calls you and says, congratulations, you're getting a $30,000 check that you didn't expect. During the meeting, what I'm doing with my clients is I'm describing the entire sales process. This is what will happen when you leave my office. I am sending all your information to the franchisor or the franchisors we discussed. They will call you. They'll email you within, 24 hours to set up the first phone meeting. There'll be regular calls after that. This process is going to take 6 weeks. I want to know if that's okay. I want to know if my client's going to do that. Is anything going to get in the way of your research going forward? Vacation coming up, doctor's appointments, family additions. I just ran into that the other day. Do we need to reschedule the franchisor? Do we need to reschedule the process? I want them to know that they need to stay on task. I also talk about the FDD for a few minutes and what to expect in reviewing it because it is an onerous document. But they need to understand that. And I not to get into the FDD here, but I do explain to them why it is what it is, and why it's important to the process. I also talk about what to expect from the first call. That first call is really, really important. And on the call, the franchisor will answer initial questions. They're going to take a deeper dive into the model. I will ask clients to keep an open mind through the first call. Make sure that all the decision makers are on the call. I talk about the personality traits of the franchisors themselves if I think it's important. And I'll talk about the difference in processes if I know that and I think it's important. Kind of setting the table for what they should expect from their representatives. Again, anecdotally speaking, if you're showing somebody Sign World and cookie cutters, Ken Kent and Lori Meyerson operate in entirely different ways. And I kind of set the table for that so the client knows what to expect. Some franchisors are a bit more pushy, some are not. Some want you to come to Discovery Day sooner than others. It's a 5-minute conversation, but it's an important part of it. And during the meetings, and finally, I'm stressing to my client that they need to engage and make steady progress during their research because the franchisor is gauging their interest and deciding whether or not to continue. With all of this, essentially what I'm doing, if you think about it, and you remember this from training, I'm getting an upfront contract with my clients, and I am getting them to acknowledge their understanding about what is to happen and agree to see it through. And just a quick final thought, I guess. I do think our meetings give us an air of professionalism. Especially face-to-face, they help add to the professional process, which I think sets us apart from everybody else. All right, next slide. So, what are we doing here? We're submitting enough information to the franchisor to get them started off on the right foot with our clients. You can't just hand in a name and a number. What I do is I include a full write-up of all the information that was gathered from the QSR and from the client meeting. It's not as daunting a task as it might seem. It's about a page and a half. I include a paragraph on background, those personality traits that I talked about, those research focus items, really only a couple or three sentences on each one. I mean, it's a half page or less. I list the key attributes that best define the model. For me, it's usually 9 or 10 things. I list the client's budget constraints. What are they comfortable in spending in cash? So full write-up takes me a half hour. And that's really, to me, all that's needed. If you want to see a sample, I'll be happy to email them to you. I didn't attach it to these slides. I send in the QSR. I always send in the QSR. If partners are involved, I send in 2 QSRs. And I send in a resume as well. I think a resume can be helpful. I think it provides additional information and discussion points that help the franchisor. Most of my clients submit a resume. Not all. I do not historically provide the risk index page. Frankly, I don't fully understand it. I know that all my clients are between 2 and 4. That's why I hold these meetings. I also think a phone call is helpful. But usually with a franchisor, it's hit or miss. It's hard to get them online the first time, but leaving them a 30 to 60 second summary message is, I think, really, really important. I think the write-up is usually good enough to get them started if they can't get in touch with me, but I will say that our franchisors often call me before calling the client. And I do try and get back to them so I can add some perspective to what I sent. So our purpose here, what are we trying to do? By sending in this stuff, we're trying to set up the franchisor for a good initial client call. Like first impressions, good first calls are important. It sets the tone for ongoing conversations, and I think more important, it may change your client's perception of what a business might really be. Can you think of examples where you knew a franchise was good for a client, but they weren't sure? You know, they look at you like you got 2 heads when you mention it. But if you set the franchisor up right to discuss it, the client might change their mind and could certainly see why the business is a good fit. That's a very common occurrence with me because I know the franchisor is going to paint a more complete picture of that model than I will. All right, so I'm getting kind of to the end here. We're going to bring Megan in just a second. Let me pause here and give you a quick thought. about why I'm talking incessantly about transferring good information. I think for the most part, our franchisors have always accepted bad information from those other consultant brokers out there, okay? And maybe in some cases from us. Maybe it's a name and a number. They dutifully call the client, try to sell them without much involvement from the broker. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is they work on commission too. They need leads. And really any broker lead is probably better than the franchise portals or leads coming from their own website. That said, one of the messages I want to get across here is in preparing for this, I canvassed a few franchisors. And I'm seeing a trend, and I can assure you this is happening. Franchisors are beginning to expect more from us. Some are already telling consultants that if you can't supply at least an assessment or a fairly comprehensive write-up of a client, much less the financial information, we're just not going to work with the client. You need to go get that and bring that back to us. One of the franchises I deal with is one called Hard Bean Coffee, which some of you know about, and you might know that Barney Greenbaum is a representative for that. And he and I talk about this all the time. And there are a lot of consultants out there that don't give much information, and Barney's going back to him and saying, won't work with you unless we have all this stuff. So it's why I'm harping on this information, this thing I call information transfer. So, Megan, we're going to talk about how to use the system for a second, and then I'm going to come back on and just do a quick 3 or 4 minute wrap-up. Okay?
Perfect. Okay. So, guys, just real quick, I'm going to share my screen so you can get the look at this up close for FranConnect. So, Mike, let me know when you can see my screen since everybody else is muted.
I can see it. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, so just to bring up what he mentioned earlier, this is the business model that he was referring to in FranConnect, and I sent you the path to get to it, but it's in the library under training and in business models, the folder business models. And there's one for each of the different combinations, and this is just a good thing for you to use. Either you can fill it in while you're there, you can fill it in later. Just look at the questions. It just helps you kind of cover the ground in that way. So that's what he was mentioning, and they are available to you in the PowerPoint format on FranConnect. And so with that, this is going to be a really quick run-through. It's really not too involved, thankfully. And what this is how to submit a Zoho referral. And I know it's probably pretty much a reminder for everyone, but just to kind of go through it one more time, I have a test lead here that I've pulled up, and I'm in the CRM system. And in this test lead's primary info record, if you scroll down to the middle, you'll see a franchisor's area. And in this area, there's the send to franchisor's link. So when you click that link, you start the process of submitting a Zoho referral. So this is where you can choose all the different franchisors. And if you're ever, you know, running through here and something doesn't look right or something looks outdated or you're concerned, then let Karen and Monica know. They'll be able to make sure that this is updated so that it has all the franchisors that we need and work with. And so what you do is you just click on the different franchisors that you're sending the client information to. So I'm just going to click on one of the test Zohs down here, but you would click however many, 2, 3, you know, that you're sending them to. And once you click that, you would click Next, and it brings up the documents that you can then attach. And this is what Mike was talking about as far as attaching the QSR to if there's spouses. You would also include a resume if that's something that you have. And then the notes and anything else that you feel would be of value. There shouldn't be too many attachments. I do know that we've had issues in FranConnect with attachments not getting through. I know those reasons aren't necessarily because you're attaching a lot of different documents, but do keep in mind that once you start getting past 4 or 5 documents, especially if they're large, there is going to be some issues with them getting through. It's always good to ask them to check their spam and to see if it's sent and if there was any errors. But if it doesn't seem like there was any errors, then just double check and make sure that the attachments weren't too many or too large files. But with that being said, from here, you can either pick from one of the documents that are there, or you can add a document from your computer. And this is where you would pick out the QSR and all the different things by just clicking Choose File, pulling it from your computer, making sure you write down what that is, and then you would save it, and it would be here. So then I'm just going to click on one. Let's pretend that we uploaded a QSR. And then from there, you would just click Next again, and it takes you to this editing area. So you'll see the franchisor's name in here, their email, I mean. And then the subject line is there. It's good to go, ready to go. And this is where you would do what he was saying as far as the notes that you're taking. And I think he said it best when he said that they don't have the luxury of a face-to-face meeting like you do. So having the ability to include that information is going to really make that initial impression and that initial call so much better, as he was mentioning. So this is where you would write that in the body of the text. And I would just copy what you write so that you can just paste it into the other Zoar referrals. So that way you're not writing the page of notes over and over again. You can just copy it. You know, you spent the time, and now everyone's going to get the details that they need. You'll see the attachments here. So if you're not seeing the attachments, that's a problem. Let me know. But from here, it's really just making sure everything's included and then clicking Send. And then when you click Send, when you click Send, it should tell you that it's confirmed. And another way to check that it's confirmed send is to go back to the primary info where you click on that link to send. It will show. It will show here franchisor name, and you'll see it in the history as well. So this is how you can make sure that everything is included. And then they should follow up with you as well. I'm not sure if he's going to get to this in the frickin' frack, but it's always good to make sure that when you send information, you know, if they haven't sent anything back, then it might be because they haven't gotten anything. So I train them to always keep you guys in the know, even if it's something as simple as I received your email or I've got this document or I heard your voicemail, things like that.
If I might for a second,
sure.
I have a form letter that I use, and I put into it all the attributes and that quick paragraph write up. But the rest of the letter is the same. I put in a Word document. I save it with a client file. You simply cut and paste it into this. What will happen is if they don't get the documents, they will always get the form letter. I've never seen it fail that the form letter doesn't go through. But also when you hit send, you also get emails that say this referral went. And if you look at the email that you get, it'll either have an attachment, the little paper clip to it, or it won't. If it doesn't have the attachment, that didn't go.
Right.
But they get your letter.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough.
Interesting. Okay, so there's that. Thank you. So this is what the email he was talking about. You should get that as well.
Exactly.
And then everything that I just said, I will include in the follow-up email. It's all here in screenshots. So if you ever do have a question about that, then you can refer to this document as well that I'll include with the recording. So really, that's all that I wanted to show you guys for the Zoar referral. So I'm going to go ahead and get the PowerPoint back up. And then, Mike, if there's nothing else you want to elaborate on there, then we can go ahead and move on.
Yeah, let me just finish up here and get all these good folks on their way. So the next slide, just real briefly about Frickin' Frack, because we have training sessions on Frickin' Frack, and you know what it is. But it occurs to me as I was doing this, we get Frickin' Frack awards for a reason. And the reason is because good communication both ways helps close deals. I really and truly believe that. I've seen that work. It begins with the initial information that you submit to the franchisor, continues throughout the sales process. And I can't stress to you how important that is. That's really all I want to say about it. I know there's a lot of training on this. But I do believe that if you give the right information up front, you really give Frickin' Frack a good chance. Let me finish up on just the last chart. Megan, let me finish up by talking about justifying the time you spend with your prospects here or your clients. What I hope I've done is gotten across the message today that the gathering and preparing, you know, proper client information to give to franchisors takes some time. But it may help close some deals, and I think it's worth it. Some of us might not find the time to do this, to accumulate and disseminate good information, but I really think if you put it into a dollar perspective, I think you can easily justify your time. And I wonder if any of you have ever given any thought to what your time is really worth. Any good consultant should know exactly what their time is worth. And I think, and when I calculate it, mine's worth about $3,333 an hour for every hour that I spend with a client that buys a business. Okay, how do I get to that? 4 hours up front, initial call, meetings, and write-up. That's about what I spend. And I probably spend 5 hours during the client, the entire client research process, maybe 6 hours. Phone calls, frickin' frack, etc. If I make a $30,000 commission, I know the math is a bit fuzzy here, believe me, but I can justify my time as being worth over $3,000 an hour. I think that's pretty good pay. If I consider a 1-in-4 close ratio, that number gets closer to $900 an hour, $850 an hour. That's more than those big-time attorneys making uptown Charlotte. I'm always glad to see that. So what I figure, and I see quite a few clients, but I spend less than 600 hours a year out of a 2,000-hour year working with my clients. And I still have a lot of time left to spend marketing my business, playing golf, whatever. Keep in mind that franchisors often spend more time with your clients than you do. They need the information to get the job done, and so you and I can make our ridiculous $1,000 to $3,000 to $4,000 an hour. So if you've never put it into, I know that math is a little bit fuzzy, and I can look at this 16 different ways. It's a pretty good hourly rate for what we do. That's why a lot of people are in our business and they think it's easy. Final slide, acknowledgments. Look, I know that not all franchisors are equal. Some do a lot better job of selling than others, and boy, I can point them out. Some are better communicators. But for all of our franchisors, I think more information is better than less. If they're not that good, you are helping them to close deals by giving them more information. I also acknowledge that not all Franet offices see an equal number of clients. I get it. If you don't see as many clients as some of the offices in the big cities, it's all the more reason for great communication to help you close deals. So that's kind of all I've got to say. I hope it didn't sound like I was preaching or scolding, but I really don't know any other way to get the message across. I think we can help franchisors close more deals by doing basically two things: gathering and giving good information to do a good job, and setting client expectations during our meetings. I don't think any of us are seeing so many clients that we can't take the extra hour or two that it takes to do the job right, and of course to help ourselves at the same time. So that's all I have to say, and thank you very much for listening.
I will open the mics up, everybody, so that you can ask questions. So 1 minute here.
The conference has been unmuted.
If we have anybody left on the call, I realize this was not as compelling as a broken float.
Yeah, somebody is in the wind somewhere. But if anybody has any questions about what Mike has discussed, or if they want to just throw out some things that they have found to be very helpful, now is the time.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. Apparently, we covered everything.
Yeah, nailed it, I think. Okay, everybody. Well, if we don't have any questions, then I will include that cheat sheet for FranConnect in the follow-up. And, again, just reach out to us if you have any questions about what you heard today. Again, thank you so much, Michael, for going through all of this with us in such detail. It was very, very well done. And that should do it then. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.